Okay, good evening, everyone. This week, we begin reading Sefer Shmos. We'll begin from the first Aliyah. We're focusing this year on the first Aliyah of Parsha Shmos. And Sefer Shmos b'nei Yisrael Adon Mitzrayma, Parsha Shmos begins, of course, going over what was already found, really in the same form that it's found in Parshas Vayigash, when the Jewish people originally went down to Mitzrayim. But here it starts telling the story again. Then, as we know, it was telling a story of redemption, of the Jewish people coming down to, so to speak, a hero's welcome in Mitzrayim, where one of their own was the king. And now we begin the Sefer of the Golus Ugula, the Sefer of the Exile and Redemption. And we're telling the story of the Jewish people becoming marred in Mitzrayim. Very quickly, the Torah is going to switch to start describing the difficulties which actually were created, the way the Pasuk describes it, by the prosperity of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. And it lists for us the names of the Shvatim. It doesn't list for us all the names of the Shivim Nefesh, of the 70 souls that went down to Mitzrayim, just the 12 sons of Yaakov Avinu. And then it says on the entire entourage, Kol Nefesh Yotzei Yerech Yaakov, all of the souls that came from Yaakov were 70. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Vayomas Yosef, v'chol achov v'chol ador ahu. Yosef and all of his brothers and all of that generation died. And the Bnei Yisrael grew, paru v'yishutu v'yirbo v'yatzmu. So I want to just quickly go through the content of the Aliyah. We can come back and then look at it. The Pasuk then describes that a new king arose over Mitzrayim that did not know Yosef, which, you know, is Hafle Lafel. I mean, he never met him, we understand that. But it makes it sound as if, who's Yosef? You know, who's Yosef? How could anybody have arisen up as a king and not know Yosef? I mean, it was like not knowing who FDR was, you know? It was like Lahavdil. Like, what does it mean? He saved the Egyptian people from famine. Right, Rashi says, he pretended. He made himself as if he didn't know. And that's how he treated them differently. Okay, we'll see. Behold, the Jewish people, they are many. They are strong. We have to be wise. We have to plot and plan lest they grow. Because when a war can come, they can go and they can fight against us and leave the land, or we'll have to leave the land, depending how you translate it, euphemistically or plain. And they put on them taskmasters to afflict them, and they built cities of storage to Paro, Pisom, Ramses. And the more they afflicted them, the more we grew. And it goes on to describe the intensity of the slavery until we have the decree, the Alet Cheneso Evriyos, when you birth the Jewish women to the midwives, that they should kill Leilenu, they should kill the boys. That was the decree which was placed on Mitzrayim. That's the content of the first Aliyah. The growth of the Jewish people, what to the Egyptians was a very frustrating thing to watch and to experience. And so they start to strike out against the Jewish people. I've suggested at another time that perhaps, you know, Sefer Shmos is called the Book of Redemption. And perhaps it's the Book of Redemption because even the beginning is about redemption. What do you mean? This is about Tzoros. The Tzoros came because the Jewish people were thriving, and it was very frustrating to the Egyptians. The Jewish people in Mitzrayim had to thrive and grow into a goy gadol. Kilo goy gadol asim Hashem, Yaakov was told by Hashem. So our growth frustrated them. Even the Tzoros were a byproduct, so to speak, of success. That's a nice way to look at it. However, there's another way to look at it. There's another way to look at it, a sadder way to look at it, a way that Chazal looked at it. The illusion which we have in Chazal is found in Uvnei Yisrael Paru Vayishritzru Vayirbu Vayatzmu. Describes the growth of the Jewish people. Paru. They were fruitful. Vayirbu. And they were many. Vayatzmu. And they were strong. Bima'id, ma'id, so much. All very beautiful expressions. In there's a different expression. Vayishritzu. Vayishritzu is also a term for many. They swarmed. Except, you know, if you walked in to a Machleis. You know, you see a riot happening in the street. You say, they were like locusts. Right? You come in and you see like a wedding with 1,000 people there. You say, they were like locusts. Or you would say, there were so many. You'd find some nice way to say it. Vayishritzu is that they swarmed like insects. It's a negative term. It's a negative expression. Ironically and interestingly, you know, Meseches Psochim begins with a whole discussion about speaking nicely. Because the first halach in Psochim is about Bedikas Chametz, which is done on the night of the 14th. Yes? And it calls it Ur La'arba Asar. The light of the 14th. Excuse me, I'm just going to think of it tomorrow. I'm going to show you something to make it even clearer. It calls it the light of the 14th. The Gemara struggles. What does it mean, the light of the 14th? Until the Gemara comes to the conclusion, yes, it indeed means the night of the 14th. And the Pasuk speaks in a nice way. Right? The Torah speaks B'loshen Nekiya in a proper way. And I always like to point out, you know, Pesach is such a yom tov of talking. You know, the mitzvah v'higadeta. In Svarim it says, Pesach. Pesach is the mouth speaks. Right? So, it's a beautiful thing that the first lesson, in a certain sense, in Maseches Pesachim, is about, the first word teaches you about speaking nicely, speaking euphemistically. You don't say darkness, night. They say light, the light. That's the way to say it. And right here in the beginning of Parshas Shmos, the Egyptians look at the Jewish people, they say, well, they're going to wage war against us, and they're going to leave the land. So again, it's a euphemism. We'll have to leave. No, they'll leave. They were speaking very, very delicately. However, the Torah, ironically, when it speaks about the Jewish people, it speaks about the Jewish people negatively. It speaks about the Jewish people negatively. You know, the Gemara says that in Psachim, right there in Gafgivim Hamad Beis, the Gemara says that Hanutlasa Kani, there were three Kohanim. We're talking about the portion which they got from the showbreads, from the Lechem Aponim. Chad Omar Luhu, one said, Higiani Kepul, I got the size of a bean. The Chad Omar Higiani Kezayas, and one said, I got the size of an olive. The Chad Omar Higiani Kezov, Zonav Halta'a, and one said, I got the size of a tail of a bat. Bodku Achavu Motsubu Shemes Psul. They checked into his yichus and they found that there was something wrong. He didn't come from the right stock. You don't use those metaphors. And yet that metaphor was used here to describe Klal Yisrael. Shvayishritz. And so Chazal understood that in fact it was a euphemism. It was a euphemism because it was a way of saying that they grew many. But we say it in a negative sense because hiding behind there is the fact that we grew not in a positive way. And Chazal say, there are many examples of this, but it says, listen to what it's written in one of the Midrashim, Rav Shimon ben Lakish Pasach, Ba'Hashem Bagadu Kivod Im Zarim Yoladu. They rebelled against Hashem, for they gave birth to strange sons, or estranged sons. Atma, Mahu Banim Zarim Yoladu, what does that mean, that they gave birth to estranged sons? El Shleim Molu Espenayim. They didn't give them a bris. V'gidulahem bluris. And they grew their hair like the way the idol worshippers grew their hair. K'siv u'bnei Yisrael paru v'yishritzu. Hakosuv asom shratim. The pasuk called them shratim when they grew them in their number. B'shvil shemoshul en arla. Because in fact they almost like reversed the bris. This was against the bris. So we describe Vayishritzu, that there was a negative turn. When the Bnei Yisrael became subject to subordination of Mitzrayim, Chazal tell us it wasn't just because they were green with envy, upset at our success. But we also had to have our own vulnerability. And our vulnerability came because we had somehow lost our direction. We were in Mitzrayim and we had lost our direction. I'd like to share with you a series of comments from the Sfarnai, who sees this in the progression of the parsha from the beginning. At the outset, he notes what we mentioned before, that here it enumerates the 12 sons of Yaakov. It doesn't enumerate all the 70 descendants of Yaakov that came together. Writes the Sfarnai, Elam is karm b'kan ha-yuruyim li-vada b'shem. The ones who are mentioned here are worthy of mention by name. Ki kol echem yam roi li yisnechshav ish al shmai. Each one is worthy of being mentioned by name, ha-meira al tzurasa ha-ishis, that indicates their individual personality. Ve'ela kol yamei chayeim ha-yu l'ma'iris. Right, the Sfarnai, these people, throughout their lifetime, these were all ma'iris, these were all luminaries, bright lights that showed the way to the rest of the Jewish people. In their lifetime, they didn't go off towards a negative culture. However, after their death, their children, even the righteous of their children, they weren't as significant. Explains this Sfarnai, that the reason why it mentions these people is because of the significance of their role. And they, to some degree, held the Jewish people in place, spiritually. And then the pasuk continues and it says, Yosef and all of his brothers and all of that generation died. Continues the Sfarnai, Kol shivim nefesh, shleibua hador lekilkul gomur kol yameim. The real kilkul, yes, the shvatim were a certain level of holding the Jewish people honest. The generation that came with them, the 70 that came from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, were another level of holding the Jewish people honest. And it was only when they died, uvnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu. Achar, continues the Sfarnai, Shemesu kol shivim nefesh, after all 70 died, notu ledarke shrotim. They went to the ways of the shrotim. And then he brings, which in fact, this, which is similar to the Chazal, which I read for you, which is found in the Pirkei of Eliezer. And then he brings what the Gemara, into the Gemara, shrotim is sherotim lebe'er shachas. They are running to the pit. They're running to the end. So you see what the Sfarnai is describing. He's describing a degeneration. The Shvatim, they were okay. The Shvatim died, we went down a notch. The Dorahu died, we went down to become Vayishritzu, and we became really vulnerable to Mitzrayim. And the cherry on top, says the Sfarnai, and a new king arose over Mitzrayim that didn't know Yosef. What does that mean that he didn't know Yosef? I asked you that question before. You're going to have somebody who doesn't remember Roosevelt, somebody who doesn't remember Kennedy, Lahavdil. How could it be? I mean, it's a next generation. It's a short period away. Afal pishay yizikard mimenu b'divrei hayamim. Writes this for now. Even though, of course, Yosef was recorded in the history of the Egyptians, they probably had statues for him, monuments for him. B'li safek, without a doubt. Bifrat, binin achemesh asher sam lechayk. Remember, Yosef, even under him, a whole taxation system was put into place. Remember the 20% tax because of the purchase of the land. I mean, he was on the books. Le'osa le'ra melech ha'chadosh efshorus, he'yosei mizeh ha'am. He says, I know there was a guy named Yosef. These people are connected to Yosef? This group of people, this nation is connected to Yosef? This nation should have any favored status because of a connection to Yosef? I read about Yosef. Yosef was an Isha Sheruach Elokim Bai. Will we find anybody so imbued with the divine spirit as he? That's what Paro noted and admired in Yosef. Everybody saw in Yosef that spirituality, the greatness, the wisdom. He looked, he said, these guys aren't related. So it wasn't that he didn't know who Yosef was. He didn't know of a Yosef that should have any connection to these people. He didn't know who these people were. And so that's the thesis which the Sfarnai puts forth. that what was happening here, and we would expect sort of such things to happen, they happen over time, is that as the generations progress, they lose their bearings. And you see it, mamish, step to step to step. The Shvatim, the Dor Ahu, to a point where you don't even associate this nation with Yosef anymore at this point in time. Let's add a point by going backwards. And maybe a couple of you heard this discussion or participated in this discussion on Shabbos afternoon. I want to just share something which I shared on Shabbos afternoon from Rabbi Meir Moshe Shapira. Beautiful, beautiful idea, beautiful insight. Not the whole thing that we shared, that we discussed, very beautiful, elaborate thing on last week's Parsha, but just a piece of it. In the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, Rashi asks a question. He asks a question which is on the prelude to Parshas Vayechi. So Rashi, not on the first word of Parshas Vayechi, but on what precedes or doesn't precede those words, which is a space. Right? Rashi asks, you don't find a space between Parshas Vayigash and Parshas Vayechi. Very unique. Unique. There's no such thing as very unique. Unique. Right? You never find it anyplace else. What's pshat? Why? Says Rashi. Because Mikevan Sheniftar Yaakov Avinu, once Yaakov Avinu died, Nistimu, it became blocked, the eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people from the difficulties of the Shibut. So this is called, when there's no space, the term in Chazal is a parsha stuma, a blocked parsha. There's no opening, there's no space. So that blockage resembles the blockage which came to the eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people as a result of the Shibud, as a result of the slavery that began with the death of Yaakov Avinu. And the problem is that they didn't start the slavery with the death of Yaakov Avinu. It's not accurate. As we read in our parsha, as we read in the first Aliyah of our parsha, Vayomas Yosef v'cholachav v'chol adarahu, Yosef and his brothers and the whole generation died. And then, as the Jewish people grew, that's when the Shibud began. That's when the slavery began. Why does it say once Yaakov Avinu died, the slavery began? That was the question. That was the question which started the discussion, the shir, which Rav Moshe Zichron Livracha gave. And he explained, basically, and again, I'm just giving you a little piece of the idea, that, of course, we understand that there are two pieces to the slavery, the bondage in Mitzrayim. One is backbreaking work, whips, bricks, mortar, all of that stuff. The other is the Shibud Ruchni, what we call the spiritual subordination, where we lost our way, where we became swept up in the values, the lust of Mitzrayim, the deis of Mitzrayim, the way of thinking of Mitzrayim. That began before the first whip was cracked. But it was already, that blocked the eyes and hearts of the Jewish people. That blocked the eyes and hearts of the Jewish people. We, Rav Moshe explained it with Leisasuru, Achrei Levavchem, Achrei Enechem, which is what we say in the Parsha where we remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're not going to get into the detail. As we said, it's a shame to give it short shrift. But we understand, and that's the same concept that the Sforna is writing over here, that the Bnei Yisrael became, by Yishritzu, we lost our way to some degree to be like Mitzrayim before we actually were enslaved by Mitzrayim. That's what started when Yaakov Avinu died. And so we take it a step back and we see that when Yaakov Avinu died, to some degree we started losing our direction. And then we get to the beginning of this week's Parsha and we have the Shvatim. They represented more and they held us honest. But then the Shvatim died. And then the ones who aren't worthy enough here to be mentioned by name, but they were still, we didn't completely lose ourselves to become like the Mitzrim, well, as long as they were alive. Kilkul Gomor didn't come, complete decomposition, so to speak, degeneration didn't come during their days. But then, they died in Vayishritzu. And we see this decrease in the generations. And one of the things that Rav Moshe pointed out in that shir was, and you see that Yosef HaTzadik,
How was Yosef HaTzadik able, when Yosef was in Mitzrayim, Shalach Lifnei Mishl Evan Nimcha Yosef, Yosef was in Mitzrayim before everybody else, how did he not become assimilated into the lust and the values of Mitzrayim? What does the Torah, what do Chazal tell us? When he was tempted so sorely by the wife of Potiphar, the image of his father appeared before his eyes. Despite the fact that he was a country away, he was miles away. But the fact that Yaakov was a presence in his life, even, so to speak, in absentia, that's what held him. And so we can understand that when Yaakov Avinu dies, that anchor is lost, lifted, that connection, and therefore the Jewish people stray and they lose their direction. And if I may add, and use that as a segue to the next thing, to say over one other thought from Rav Moshe, which really connects to this, is that what we have in last week's parsha? Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim Chemenasha. Yaakov Avinu, in the beginning of the parsha, right, Yosef comes, and Yaakov addresses not his children, but his grandchildren. And he first makes a declaration to Yosef, and he says, Ephraim and Menashe should be like for me like Reuven and Shimon. Should be like for me like Reuven and Shimon. And then he said, B'cho Yivarech Yisrael Lamar. And when he sees them, he says, Kol Yisrael should bless you. And they should say, Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim and Menashe. Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Menashe. And that bracha sticks. Right? Fathers give their sons a bracha Friday night, Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim and Menashe. To this day. Why? How is it that that's the bracha which sticks? That Yaakov said, should be Kefrayim and Menashe. Rav Moshe Zuchem Avroch used to say, because what was the chiddush of Ephraim and Menashe that we just learned? The chiddush of Ephraim and Menashe was that there was no generational drop. Usually, children, right? We say that Darius HaRishonim, Darius HaChronim, early generations relative to last generations, we speak of a Yeridas HaDarius, a descent of generations. A greater distance between the origins, the reality. However, in this case, Ephraim and Menashe, Kiruvein v'Shimon Yuli, Yaakov Avinu had placed Ephraim and Menashe, they would be like Reuven and Shimon. So the bracha we give to our children is, Yisim chalakim Ephraim v'chim Menashe, it shouldn't be noticeable in you a drop to a different generation. There should be the absolute continuity. The absolute continuity is without dropping down a notch. That's the beauty of the bracha. And to some degree, of course, we might say that that's the koyach of Yosef, that the image of his father guided his own thing. And that's what Chazal tell us, that Yosef looked exactly like Yaakov Avinu. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, it was the Musta Yukna, he was, Yosef may have, we once suggested, when it says he saw him in the window, maybe it was, they didn't have them, maybe it was a glass window like ours, and he saw his own reflection, and he says, oh, that's Yaakov Avinu, because he looked like him. There was no gap of generations. Now this may sound, you know, like just homiletics, you know, some kind of a thing like that, but I'd like to try to show you here, as we're going on in this year, is that it's not. That in fact it's the core of the issue itself. The core of the issue itself. If I want to just add one little nakuda, one point before we go further, I'm sorry. We noted Friday night, this past Friday night, I asked the question that it says, you know, Yosef comes with Menashe and Ephraim. Yaakov has this whole discussion with Yosef, as if he doesn't see Menashe and Ephraim. And he tells him the whole thing. And he says, Ephraim and Menashe be with Reuven and Shimon. And then he looks up and he sees, he says, who are these people? These are my children. And then suddenly Yaakov even starts addressing them. What's the job? What's the idea? I mean, the whole thing about what Yaakov sees and doesn't see, it says he's blind, he does see, he doesn't see, it's complicated. But he only notices them after the first thing. And I think that the pshat is pasha, the pshat is simple. Is that, you know, Yaakov, you know, has a son, Yosef. He doesn't, in a certain sense, even see past the son. Because that's the way it works. That's the gap of generations. I mean, yes, I know people like to play with their grandchildren. But, you know, in a certain sense, the child is the space between the grandchild and the grandparent and the grandchild. But when Yaakov Avinu said, Ephraim and Manasseh are for me like Reuven and Shimon, so then in a certain sense, he saw past Yosef. There became an immediate connection. The gap of generations was transcended, and now he saw them. By Yah Yisrael's Ben Yosef. At that point, he saw the children of Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik is considered to be HaTzadik. Why is he called Yosef HaTzadik? Yosef, the righteous one, is it called Reuven HaTzadik, Yehuda HaTzadik, Yisachar HaTzadik? No, Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is because Yosef, Chazal tell us, is what we know as the Midah of Yesod. Tzadik Yesod Olam is the expression of the Pasuk. Yosef had a specific notch in the structure of the Jewish people, the seven leaders, Moshe, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. Gedula, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Chayid, Yisoid, Malchus. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Chayid, Yisoid, Malchus. Yisoid. What's Yisoid? Tzadik Yisoid. Well, Chazal tells us Yisoid is Shmiras HaBris. Yosef guarded the Bris, he guarded the covenant. The simple application of that is because he was sorely tempted in the area of lust, in the area which Bris is supposed to sanctify, and he withstood the challenge, he withstood the test. He withstood the bris. Shmiras HaBris. But it's not just a coincidence, and it's not just that he withheld from that lustful exercise. We understand that bris mila, is fundamental to the whole Golus of Gulas Mitzrayim. What did I just read to you before from the Medrash? When it says Vayishvetzu, so the Medrash says, Kiborim Zorin Yolodu. They gave birth to estranged children. Says the Medrash, what does that mean, Bonim Zorim Yoladu? Says the Mishnah, Shelei Molu Espineim. They didn't give their children a bris. The bris mila is what we do when a child is just born, 8 days old, and the parent goes and brings the child into the bris. And what are they doing? They're robbing the child, so to speak, of their free ability to self-identify. Instead, what do? They bring upon them, and we have this mitzvah, to imprint upon them, so that it will be, as the Pasuk says in the mitzvah to Avram, Brisi itcha v'zaracho acharecho, your children who are a continuation of you. The bris is to create that continuity. The bris mila. And Kol Yisrael v'yishretzu. We lost the connection to Yaakov Avinu. We lost the connection to the Shvatim. We lost the connection to Kol Hador Ahu. We abandoned the Bris Mila. But in Zorim Yolodu, you hear the expression of the Pasuk? They gave birth to children who were like strangers. The recognition, the definition wasn't there. And that's why we'll find at the end of Parsha Shmais, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down to Mitzrayim, the moment of tension for Moshe Rabbeinu, the moment of risk was when there was a failure of Bris Mila. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the Mashiach, he's the one who's going to save Kol Yisrael. How could Moshe Rabbeinu be without Bris Mila? Chazal tell us the only ones who observed the Bris in Mitzrayim were Levi. Kishamru imrasecha uvrischa yinzayru. All of Kol Yisrael neglected the Bris Mila when we were in Mitzrayim, except Levi. Levi kept it up. Levi was the Shevet of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they maintained the Bris. And how were we redeemed from Mitzrayim? What did we have to do? Remember, we have to bring the Korban Pesach. But what did we have to do in order to qualify for the Korban Pesach? We had to have a bris. B'domayichayi, Chazal tell us. Two types of blood the Jewish people produced on the night of Pesach. The blood of the Mila that qualified them for the blood of the Pesach. Because Hashem only redeemed us from Mitzrayim because He remembered His covenant with our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He had to recognize us. He had to see the continuity from one to the other, that it shouldn't be broken. And what we're seeing here instead, what's normal, natural, is we went to this place and we got swallowed up with them. We forgot our anchor. We forgot our roots, those which connected us. those which connected us to the past.
Why didn't they give a verse?
They lost commitment to it. This was part of Ayishritzu. This was part of the estrangement of Klal Yisrael there in Mitzrayim.
When did they do it before they left?
And Chazal say it was the same day that they brought the Korban Pesach. I think we can see something here, a very, very nice remes, a beautiful remes. Vayelach ishmi beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi. In our parsha, after the tzaras are described, we also have, of course, the refuah, the medicine, the healing, and that is the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does it say about the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu? And a man went from the house of Levi, and he married the daughter of Levi. Who was the man? Well, we'll learn in next week's parsha, and Parshas Vayera actually tells us real names. It says Amram and Yocheved. Amram wasn't the son of Levi. Amram was a grandson of Levi. Levi had a son named Kohos, and Kohos had a son named Amram. And he married Yocheved, who was a daughter. He married his aunt. Complicated thing. One of those marriages that we have to explain and understand, you know, it was not, would not be permitted later by the Torah. But it doesn't describe who they are. It just says, Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Es Bas Levi. It doesn't give them their own identity. It waits till next week's parsha. So, many have dealt with this question. In light of our discussion, though, it's such a beautiful thing that the Pasuk is telling us. If the failure of Mitzrayim, if the failure of the Jewish people of Mitzrayim was the gap that grew between the Dairis, between the generations, Yachiv was gone, the Shvatim were gone, Chol Ador Ahu, that generation was gone, and they became unrecognizable. So who's going to be the one, the Savior? Yes, the person who was on to the Bris. But who, look how we described them. This was someone from Levi, somebody else from Levi. We describe them in terms of their roots, in terms of their Zayda, in terms of their Baba, in terms of their grandfather and their grandparents. We don't even describe a separate identity because that's what transcends the generation, the generations that make this possible, make this happen. More of the same, if I may. And a new king arose over Egypt that did not know Yosef. So I asked you, what does that mean? How could he not know Yosef? The basic history. So Rashi says he pretended as if he didn't know. The Sfarnai says he didn't recognize the Jewish people as being part of the nation of Yosef. But not only did he have to be able to pretend, but the whole society had to forget Yosef. But what he's perpetrating, against the Jewish people is a national enterprise. To understand, that's just another example of disassociation of the generations. If that's the plague which the Jewish people assumed for themselves, that we weren't connected with the generations that came before, so then, why should they? That was what we sometimes call mida keneket mida. A new generation, vayokom dor chadash, asher lo yoda es Yaakov. And vayokom aleihem melech chadash, asher lo yoda es Yosef. In our own discontinuation of the generations, we made ourselves vulnerable to their amnesia, to their forgetting of the generations. And another nekudah, another point. So what happens? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Pari brings a decree about Kol Ben Ayilet Hayayret Hashlichu, the children should be thrown into the river, but they should be killed, first they should be killed in childbirth. And the Miyaldas, the midwives who were there to help people give birth to the next generation, they refused. they refused to follow this edict. And they, of course, are the beginning of the redeemers of the Jewish people. When Chazal say, in the merit of righteous women, the Jewish people were saved from Mitzrayim, and who were these? Well, it starts with, these are the first righteous women identified, our Shifra and Pua, Yocheved and Miriam, according to Chazal, who would not stop the birth and the growth of the Jewish people, which is a critical element in their going forward. And of course, Yocheved, Shifra, gives birth to Moshe Rabbeinu at the urging of Pua, at the urging of her daughter Miriam, who also then watched out for him and took care of them. These are the Nashim Tzukamiyas. And what's their reward? Vayas Lahem Batim. And Hashem made for them houses. What does that mean? Townhouses. Say Chazal, Hashem made for them dynasties. Each one of them had a dynasty. Kahuna and Leviah came from Yocheved. Malchus came from Miriam. Abayas is a dynasty. Abayas is where parents, children, grandchildren, they're included in one entity. The Geula of Mitzrayim comes through Bris, comes through Bayis, comes through that continuity of being a part of, feeling a part of, a dynasty. Ephraim, Menashe, Keruven, Shimon, Yuli, to bridge that gap. That's the solution. You know, we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim is the foundation of the whole Torah. We have to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim every day, every morning, every day in the daytime, every nighttime. Kol Yimei Chayecha. Hashem introduced himself to us at Har Sinai. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. And again, as Ramban writes in different places, Yitzias Mitzrayim is the yesod, is the foundation of Kol HaTorah Kula, is the foundation of our Emunah, is the foundation of Kol HaTorah Kula. And that's why we have to remember it all the time. We don't just remember it. There's a specific mitzvah which we have on the Yom Tov, which we fulfill to the T on the Yom Tov, that commemorates Yitzias Mitzrayim. And what's that? Chayav Adam, b'chol dor v'dor, in each and every generation, Chayav Adam, lirois es atzmei ki'ilu hu ata yotza mimitzrayim. In each and every generation, a person has to view themselves as if they have now left Mitzrayim. As we say, v'aysanu haitzi misham, Hashem took us out from there. Isn't that fitting? Isn't that beautiful? If the trap of Mitzrayim, if the golus of Mitzrayim was the sliding difference of generations, Yaakov was gone, disconnection, the Shvatim are gone, further disconnection, the Dor is gone, further disconnection, till we're not recognizable, Asher lo yada es Yosef, Asher lo yada es Yaakov, and the Redeemer is the Ishmi Beis Levi, Mi Bas Levi, where there is no such gap, where there's bris which is continuity, bris which is zaracho acharecho instead of bonim zorim, instead of estranged children. So when we come to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, the form isn't just to remember something from years ago, it is to transport ourselves there, to erase the gap between the generations. That is Geulas Mitzrayim. Had we been able to do that, we never would have been Goylim. We never would have been exiled in Mitzrayim. We still would have ridden the coattails of Yosef, and there wouldn't have been possible the Asher Lo Yada as Yosef. We never would be Banim Zorim. There's a Mishnah in the end of the second parak of Maseches Eidias that makes a fascinating comment. Fascinating. And we're just going to touch it, mention it quickly, and mention it briefly. It requires a discussion for itself. Hu haya omer, he used to say, this is a quotation from Rabbi Akiva, Ha'av zeicha leben, a father merits or gains for his child Binoy, beauty, Kayach, strength, Aisher, wealth, Chachma, wisdom, Bishanim, years, Vamisfar Hadares Lefanav, and in the number of generations before him. It's a very cryptic statement. And to add to the crypticness, if that's a word of the statement, it's probably not crypticite, but whatever it is. Vuhu haketz, says the Mishnah. The number of generations before him, and that's the ketz. The ketz, the end. Remember last week, Bikesh Yaakov, Legale says haketz. Yaakov wanted to redeem the ketz, the end, the redemption. The number of generations before him, which is the ketz, Shenemar, Kere Hadayres Meirosh, Hashem declared the generations in advance. Continues the Mishnah, it gets better. Even though it says, and he enslaved them and afflicted them for 400 years, but it says, V'doy Ravi Yashuv Lehina, the fourth generation will return here. So the Rishayim, right on this Mishnah, they say, you see, what's the Mishnah pointing out? It's a fascinating thing that we may never have noticed on our own. When Hashem spoke to Avraham Avinu, telling him about Mitzrayim, he said, you'll be in Golas for 400 years, and the fourth generation will come back. Golas is said in terms of years. Geula is said in terms of generations. Isn't that a magnificent note? For a statement, yet we understand in this context what that means. Years is just, it's passage of time, it all disappears. 1 year, another year, each year is for itself. Dairis, the very term dor, is a term which implies continuity. Dor, one generation to another generation. Geula is measured in terms of generations of Dairis. Yes, in a certain sense, we're trying to transcend generations. But it's not a flight of the imagination when we transcend generations. Hey, we're there, we're back there. No. The stronger the sense of generation, the stronger the sense of where we come from, the stronger we identify with where we come from, the more the gap disappears. When we stop counting years and start looking at those steps, those generations of those who came before us, kol hadarahu, that's when we have geula. Mitzrayim was the paradigm of all golios. It was the original golos. It's the rosh, the rishon of all the golios. And the story of the golos, as described, kivan sheniftar Yaakov, kivan sheniftaru Hashvatim, kivan sheniftaru Hadarahu, this disorientation, this loss of connection and resemblance to the generations that came before us. And the solution is bris, is parents and children, one, the parents placing an imprint upon the children, recognizable imprint, people defining themselves as mi beis levi, mi bas levi, batim, dynasties, households, families where we, multiple generations, feel like they're part of one integral unit, dairis, kairi hadairis mirash. That's the solution. That's why, again, we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim with Chayav Adam Liray says, Atzmei Kiilu Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim. We must view ourselves as if we're the ones who ourselves left Egypt to transcend generations, to have Demus Deyukne Shel Abba, the image of our forefathers before us, and in fact, such that we share that Demus Deyukne, we share that image on our own face. That's the built-in solution. The built-in solution to the challenge. We should be zeichah b'ezus Hashem to have this to be zeched to dairis, where their face, their image, who they are zaracha charecha, at chas v'sholem bani zorim, where we will be migal, we will be redeemed with the bris, Bez Hashem, the very strong bris that holds us together. Thank you.